Today I want to talk about trust God, not man. Sounds like a no-brainer, but we're going to go through it anyway. I don't know everything about you. I don't know about all of your life. Some of you have shared a lot of things with me, but I don't know what life was like growing up for you. All of your experiences with people and the details of why you are where you are today, why you're doing what you're doing, why you believe what you believe, and why you don't believe what you don't believe. But here's what I do know about every one of us. Humans have disappointed you. Humans have disappointed you. Somehow we're surprised by this every time we get disappointed by somebody. Some of our most interesting conversations are stories about how humans have disappointed us. We get together and we collaborate on this. We talk about how this person disappointed us, and sometimes we end up calling that gossip. We're so shocked at how some humans can drive. Why are we so shocked with this? It's nothing new. How they speed down the shoulder when everyone else is stopped and waiting and traffic is backed up, and how people just drive right through a red light. We're so shocked that this happens. Am I alone? We just get shocked at it. We get disappointed when really we should just get used to it. Well, we'll let the cops keep bringing accountability. Our disappointments, though, they go all the way back to childhood. I heard a story of a father that was a great man. He was a great worker. He was a great father, a great family man. But he was introduced to drugs at work so that they could be more productive and stay awake longer. And they worked for many hours. And his kids grew up hearing the stories because of the drug addiction that he ended up with. The kids grew up ended up hearing story after story of his crazy escapades, thievery, jail time, and obviously it turned into divorce, and it was a horrible situation. Our disappointments in our parents, our disappointments in our kids, our disappointments in the people around us and in our church families, our disappointments even in the church, humans fighting for position in church. How frustrating is that? Humans not loving one another in church. How frustrating and disappointing that is, especially when it's someone that you revere, or if it's a pastor or even a priest. It's the disappointment that comes with that. John recorded a time that Jesus had come to Jerusalem for the Passover feast, and Jesus had been preaching, he was doing miracles, and the people were getting really excited about it. You know how momentum begins to build and everybody's getting excited about it. Man, this is great. This might be the Messiah. And they're excited about believing in him. But the scripture says this, but Jesus didn't trust them because he knew all about people. No one needed to tell him about human nature, for he knew what was in each person's heart. It says he didn't give himself over to the people. In other words, he wasn't putting himself in a position where he was allowing them to bolster him up because they praised him, because they worshiped him for the things that he did. He wasn't giving his heart over to that, is what it was saying. Because why? He understood human nature. He knew that it was not about him, it was about them. Jesus knew better than to put his trust in humans, because people can turn on you without any warning, for any reason, and without any explanation that even makes sense. How many of you have experienced that in your life? People can be flaky. They want you to be committed, but not me. I want you to be committed, but my commitment, well, it just depends on what comes my way. We've had people in this church even want me to be committed, but do you want me to be committed to this church more than you? If you're honest, you do. But hopefully not. You see, that's why we're calling this into account. God wants us to be trustworthy. He wants us to commit. He wants us to become trustworthy while being careful to not put our trust in humans. He wants us to be careful to become trustworthy. Through the years, there were people that I thought were friends, but they weren't. How many of you can attest to that? They were in it for themselves, and as soon as they figured out there's something better, someone else better, somewhere better, they were gone. God calls his followers to more than that. How many of you believe that? God calls you and me to more than that. Parents disappoint, children disappoint, church members disappoint. Here's a news flash. Every man, woman, and child is corrupted by a sinful nature. Trust God, not man. So today we're going to continue our story on Joseph. And after he was sold by his brothers into slavery, Joseph ended up being one of the servants of a wealthy man. He was actually the captain of Pharaoh's guard, and his name was Potiphar. It was obvious to Potiphar that Joseph was not sold into slavery because he deserved it. It was obvious to Potiphar that Joseph was a high-quality young man, and probably he had been sold into slavery because other people were jealous of him, and that's exactly what happened. Potiphar recognized that he was a great kid. He had a lot of strengths. He was smart. And his slavery had turned into a very nice and cushy job, is what happened, because Potiphar saw his potential. Things were going really well for him, but God could see that this wasn't the path to the palace that Joseph needed in order to be on, in order to get him where he needed to be. God was going to have to make some changes. This was not the path to the palace. This was just the path to being a great servant of Pharaoh or of Potiphar. All throughout this story, we read that wherever Joseph was, it says the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor. Wherever Joseph went. And while in Potiphar's home, it says the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. Genesis 39:2. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. And it says that Potiphar could see that the Lord was with him. Potiphar looked and he saw, man, God is with this kid. So he put Joseph in charge of his whole household, and he entrusted in his care everything he owned. Because Joseph was in charge, the Lord blessed Potiphar's whole household. Now, we know God was carefully watching over Joseph, but then something horrible happened. Potiphar's wife, she came to him and she tried to get him to sleep with her. It says that day after day after day she came to him, but over and over he would say this, "How could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" One day she came at him so aggressively that he had to turn and run. And in order to get away from her, he had to take off his cloak and let it fall because she had grabbed a hold of it. This wasn't the first time he'd lost his coat, was it? She screamed and she accused him of trying to take advantage of her. Here he is, a young man, doing great. He had been sold into slavery. All of these things have happened, and now he's got this situation. She used his cloak as evidence for her story. And when Potiphar got home, she told him what happened. All teary and convincing, you can hear her. "Oh, he came in here, he came at me, and I had to fight him off." And you can just hear her trying to convince her husband of what happened. And Potiphar burned with anger. But here's the thing, if he really believed his wife, Joseph would have been killed. He didn't really believe her, did he? What did he do? He sent him to prison. Why would God allow this? If God was with Joseph, if God was watching over Joseph, why would God allow this? Wouldn't Joseph have been protected from these false accusations? Well, at this point in his life, Joseph had been hated by his brothers. He had his coat that his father had specially made for him stripped from him. He was sold into slavery. They almost killed him, but instead of killing him, they sold him into slavery. These were his own flesh and blood. That hurts when your brothers do this kind of thing to you. He's now been thrown into prison for being faithful, not because he was a bad person, but because he was faithful, he was thrown into prison. And he knew that he couldn't trust humans, but somehow he continued to trust God. Now, all of us have been disappointed in our lives, haven't we? By people that we were hoping that these people could see good in us, people that would help us to be launched into better days, people that would make sure that we're set up for a better life, people that could look into our lives and see our dreams, our goals, and our desires and feed those things, but we've been disappointed by these people. Maybe your own parents, or maybe it was your siblings. Some of you are in a job situation where people only get promotions because they're in on the in group. And they're one of the good boys. They're one of the good old boys. And those kind of things are very frustrating, and we get disappointed in those situations. Well, throughout your life, there were moments that you thought, finally, I'm finally getting some traction here. And then somebody disappointed you. You have to remember this. God doesn't just know what is better for you. He knows what is best for you. God could see that Potiphar's house was not the path to the palace. It was better. It was good. But it wasn't God's destiny for him. It wasn't the best. It wasn't what he was leading him to. And as you'll see in the coming weeks, what Joseph ended up doing is just phenomenal. He had to let Joseph face the difficult times to change his course from Potiphar's house to the palace. Joseph made the decision to trust God, not man. Even though it looked like God had turned his back on him, Joseph continued to trust God, even though he went to prison. He looked at this beautiful woman who wanted him so badly and trusted God so much that he said to her, "How could I do something like that against my God?" Joseph trusted that God had the best for him still ahead. He had to believe that. Otherwise, there's no way he would have missed out or he would have passed on this moment of temptation. You see, Joseph didn't trust the woman. She made it sound like she was the best thing that he had ever seen or could ever possibly have in his life. You can hear her now. "There's no other woman in the land that is as beautiful as me. Here I am. Don't miss out on this opportunity, Joseph. You'll regret it for the rest of your life. You'll always look back and want this moment back. If you could have just come back to this moment, you'll be happy." That's what you're going to be thinking. You can hear her trying to tempt him and say, "Come on, come on, come on." Your flesh will tempt you to believe this is all you're ever going to get. That you're stuck. And this is as good as it's going to get. Joseph, he lived in a mansion. He ran the household. He had access to everything except Potiphar's wife. And now she was willing to give herself to him secretly. He could have had her too. What more could a guy ask for? But God had much more. And he had to believe that. In order to give up this, he had to believe in that. God has so much more for you. Do you believe it? He has so much more for you.
Amen.
He has so much more for us.
Amen.
Why is it so easy for you to believe he has more for us than it is for you? Because you're a child of God, like Joseph, God is with you. You would do well to believe that God is in charge of who shows you favor and does not show you favor. In other words, if you don't get that job, that God was in charge of that. It might be better, but it might not be best. Begin to see that it isn't humans you're trusting in, it's God. Throughout the years, I've had men of high stature tell me, "Oh, John, if you ever need anything, just tell me." And I hear stories about these kind of things happening to pastors all the time, where, you know, they get favor with a landowner or some billionaire, and they get a blank check from them. And in each of these situations where these men have said these words, man, John, just let me know what you need. Whatever it is, come to me and ask me. In each of these situations, I've asked God for direction because obviously he's in charge. He's our boss. And along the way, there have been a few situations where I thought, well, maybe we could test the waters and see if they were serious about these things, whether they were just saying words or they were serious. And in every situation, they were just saying words. And when someone is serious about doing something for God, they're going to chase you down to get that done. Right? These men weren't serious. It'd be easy for me to get frustrated and discouraged because of those things. These men told me, if you ever need something, you come. Didn't happen. But like Joseph, I know God has the best coming our way. Do you believe that with me? Joseph knew not to get in bed with that woman, and we better know that there are consequences to who we get in bed with. And only God knows the right connections, the right keys. And you know what? Our job is to be content with what we've got and who we are until our boss says, all right, now's the time. Because the last thing we need to do is have a baby with somebody we don't need to have a baby with. Amen. Trust God, not man. The truth is, sometimes God does give people the opportunity to do things and they choose not to do them. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that. Over 400 years later, now think about this, Joseph is now in Egypt as a slave. He's in prison. Fast forward 400 years plus later, his descendants and his brothers have left Egypt. They're called the Israelites at this point. And would you be delivered? They would be delivered from being slaves in Egypt, and they would wander in the wilderness for 40 years before God would let them go into the promised land because why? They failed to trust him all throughout the process of that. In Numbers 14, we read how God gave the people of Israel the opportunity to follow him, to see his miracles, but over and over they chose not to do what God told them to do. They didn't trust him. They grumbled. They complained. They said things like, God brought us out into this wilderness to die. And look what it says. God said to Aaron and Moses, how long will this wicked community grumble against me? I've heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites, so tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do the very thing I heard you say. In this wilderness, your bodies will fall. Every one of you, 20 years old or more, who was counted in the census and who has grumbled against me. Not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifting hand to make your home, except Caleb. Israelites didn't trust God. They complained. They whined. They griped. Not trusting God is a misidentifying God issue. This is why. It's not about God not liking your complaining. It's not about him going, oh, good grief, would they stop with the complaining already? That's not what this is about. It's about God understanding that they don't understand who he is. They misidentified him. When you don't trust him, you've forgotten who he is. The Israelites complained and groaned. When they were still in Egypt, they complained because God and Moses were making Pharaoh make things worse for them. So they complained about it. They complained about the water that God provided. That they said it was bitter water. God, it's not good enough. They complained about being hungry. They complained about being thirsty. They complained about God's mission. We don't really know if we want to do this. There are giants in the land over there. We don't know that we want to go do this. So they complained about it. And at one point, they longed to go back to Egypt where they were enslaved because at least they knew what they expected there on a daily basis. It was secure. There was a routine and there was food. There was some stability there, even though they were slaves. They'd rather go back and be slaved in Egypt than to be out here with God leading them through the wilderness. They said, God brought us out here to die. And guess what? That's exactly what God gave them. You need to understand that it's important what you believe about God. If you believe he's a mean and angry God, you better be careful with that, because like he did with the Israelites here, that may be the God that you end up seeing. If you believe he's a loving and caring and gracious and merciful God because that's who he says he is and that is who he is, then guess what? That's the God that you're going to get to see. Isn't that wonderful? And for all of that complaining, God gave them exactly what they believed he was. Mean and ugly and going to kill them in the wilderness. And that's exactly what happened. When you trust God, you recognize he is all powerful. Let this sink in. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. You think you know some because you've had Google at your fingertips? He knows it all. God can look at Wikipedia and go, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. I was there. I know everything. That's God. He's all knowing. He's sovereign. He is righteous, truth, faithful, holy, love, just, and never changing. That's God. And when you trust him, you take all of that into account, that God knows everything. And this might be better, but God knows best. Joseph trusted God. But while Joseph was there in prison, look at the scripture, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison. Now he's in charge of the prison. And he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. To know God is to trust God. And while Joseph was in prison, he trusted God. We need to be able to say that about each other. While Jason was without a job, he trusted God. While John's wife was sick, he trusted God. While Mom and Dad, Jerry and Carol, lived in a trailer, they trusted God. When Kenny decided to step out of the boat and start a business, he trusted God. You hear it? We need to be able to say this about each other. They trusted God. While you were alone, you trusted God. While your marriage was struggling, you trusted God. When you felt like your job was a prison, you trusted God. When your children were living like morons, you trusted God. When your bank account was dry, you trusted God. And it's better than that. It's better than this. While Jason was out of a job, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor. While John's wife was sick, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor. While Jerry and Carol lived in a trailer, the Lord was with them, and God showed him kindness and granted him favor. They were able to sell their house up in St. Louis and moved here into a brand new home. And what God has done and used them for, God showed them kindness and granted them favor. While you were alone, the Lord was with you. He showed you kindness and granted favor. While your marriage was struggling, the Lord is with you and shows you kindness and will grant you favor. When your job feels like it's a prison, the Lord will show you kindness and grant you favor because he's with you. When your children are living horrible lives, the Lord will show you kindness and grant you favor if you continue to trust in him and work with him. When your bank account is dry, the Lord is with you and it will show you kindness and grant you favor. Do you believe that? Joseph was in prison, but the Lord was with him and showed him kindness and granted him favor. If you believe God brought you to the wilderness to let you die, that's what you're going to get. If you believe God brought you to this prison for you to die, that's what you're going to get. You forgot who he is. God didn't bring the Israelites to the wilderness to let them die. He didn't let Joseph go to prison so that he could rot in jail. God put them through the wilderness so they could end up in the promised land. God put him in prison so that he can end up in the palace. But it's more than that. God's purpose wasn't about Joseph getting rich. It was about God using him for his purpose. Today is a day that you begin to believe in who God really is. And if you believe that he's brought you to this horrible situation, whatever it is that you're going through, or whatever it is that you didn't see him trust, you didn't trust him through. If you didn't believe and trust him through that, then you got what you believed. But today's a day that you realize he can be trusted. No matter what you're going through, begin to believe that he is your deliverer. Believe that he is your provider. Believe that he is your healer. Believe that he is your teacher. Believe that he sees you while you're in it. Believe that he's your savior. What you believe about God in your time of trouble is what matters. Do you trust him? James David, would you come? Stop waiting for a man to trust. Stop waiting for a man that you can trust. If you're wondering if you can put your trust in me, I'm standing before you today and I'm going to tell you no. I'm doing my dead level best to be a trustworthy man for you. But you cannot put your trust in me. The reality is, I need Jesus and the blood that was spilled on the cross as much or more than any of you. Quit waiting for a man that you can trust. All we can do is point to the one that you can trust, and that's Jesus. You say, well, John, you don't know what my dad did to me. And I attribute all of that to who God is. Well, that's wrong. You're wrong. Quit. That's not who God is. That was your earthly dad. Period. God is completely different. Well, John, you don't know what my husband did to me or my wife did to me. I've lost all my trust. It's not God. It's man. That's human. Par for the course on this planet. John, you don't know what this pastor did to me. You don't know what this priest did to me. You don't know what this person did to me. My boss. Come on. You're looking for an excuse because it's not God. God is saying, you can trust me. Do you? Have you chosen to? Would you bow your heads? While Joseph was in prison, he trusted God. The Lord was with him, and the Lord showed kindness and favor towards him. While he was in prison, some of you are going through a very difficult time in your life. It's time for you to trust God. Believe who he is, who he says he is, not who man says he is, who God says he is. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He is your Savior. He loves you. He cares about you. He sees you right where you are. He knows everything about you. He says, I know everything. I know how many hairs are on your head. I know it all. That's how big I am. And if you'll just believe me and trust me, you're going to get through this. And you won't just have better, you'll have best. you'll have my purpose, my plan for your life. Do you trust him? Tell him now. God, you didn't lead them into the wilderness to die. You let them there so that they could get to the other side, the promised land. Lord, you didn't let Joseph go to prison so that he could rot and die. That was his path to the palace. And today we believe, we know and believe that you have our best interest in mind. You're a good God. You're a loving God. And today we choose to let go of those thoughts that you don't care about us. You care about everybody else. You care about all the church, but you don't care about me. We let go of that and we make it personal today. You're with us. You're with me. Everybody say that with me. God, you're with me. I believe. Help me with my unbelief. Now, Father, let peace fill our hearts with that belief, that we may walk out of here strong, with courage, because you're with us. Show your favor and blessings towards us because we believe. We know you're our God. You love us. You care about us. Make us so strong that, Father, we can forget about our own needs, we can forget about our own pain, and we can take care of the people around us. We can love without condition and without restraint. We can love our community. We can love our church family. We can love our families. And most assuredly, we can love you by loving all of these. So today, let the peace of God that transcends understanding guard our hearts and our minds as we are sealed in Christ Jesus. Bless us. Father, there's someone here that's letting go of what happened in their childhood. Put peace in their hearts right now. You're proud of them. Let the healing of Christ move in as we trust you. We trust you with our pain. We trust you with our purpose, our future. So we let go and we forgive. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.